And students already know that it works. There was a national student satisfaction survey carried out last year, and the university that came out as number one, far in advance of all the other universities, was the Open University. What's different about the Open University from most other campus-based universities? There's no campus. Well, there's no campus that students attend anyway for their lectures. And this is the one that gave students the greatest sense of belonging and satisfaction with the learning that they were doing. Now, that's a bit odd, isn't it? That is rather peculiar, that the students who were the happiest were the ones who saw less of their lecturers in a face-to-face situation, but were supported online and through traditional forms of distance education. Pardon me. So, these kinds of trends and changes that I'm talking about are having a huge impact on traditional educational structures, and especially on the nation state. This is an area that I've become especially interested in over the last few months, because one of the things that I'm involved with is something I mentioned already briefly, this e-portfolio thing, and something called Europass. And for UK students, though this may not apply to you, I don't know, but for UK students, by 2010, that was only 4 years away, it'll be possible to study one module here at Reading, another module in Bologna, another one in Paris, another one in Lisbon, and you'll be able to put all these courses together into your degree, okay? So if you know there's somebody, it's a bit like going back to the old medieval model, in fact, where wandering scholars used to walk around from one expert to another, you know, from Erasmus in Rotterdam to Lorenzo Valla in Rome, okay? The wandering scholar. So you'll be able to do that now, but you'll have all your work in your e-portfolio, and you'll be able to develop your own degree from the experts available to you throughout the 25 member states of the European Union. And this has all been agreed by the governments in the European Union, so that's part of the kind of globalization process that is taking place there. But of course, what that means is that this idea that I've mentioned a few times already, that what's really valuable about you people is that you're going to go back to your countries and work and contribute to that country's gross national product and push back the frontiers of knowledge and be innovators and creators and leaders in those countries, right? Well, students just don't feel that anymore. They don't feel that deep sense of rootedness, of belonging. We've got this kind of modern phenomenon of knowledge nomads, you know, people who will travel around the world to work anywhere, in any culture and society. Their knowledge and skills are transferable. So the point of nations investing in the elite education of their best brains somehow loses its force, and it's going to be interesting to see how nations deal with that. Other issues that are coming up are things like the loss of copyright protection. You know, if you go, and I don't mean to be at all patronizing about this, but if you go to markets in Middle Eastern or some Chinese or Asian societies, you can buy Microsoft products that would cost hundreds of pounds or dollars for next to nothing, right? So there's a loss of copyright, isn't there? Intellectual property rights are no longer as easily protected as they used to be now that we live in a digital age where anything can be copied easily, right? So intellectual property and the loss of intellectual property, which is what has given nation states their superiority in the past. Let's be quite clear about that. You know, why won't the West give Iran the right to develop enriched uranium, for example? Because that's special protected knowledge. Apart from the fact that it might lead to a nuclear war, but that's a whole separate issue. But you see what I'm getting at? The collapse of intellectual property rights and loss of copyright is a major assault on the privileged position of Western societies hitherto. And the control of knowledge, the control of access to knowledge, that thing which characterized the Royal Library of Assurbanipal in Nineveh all those millennia ago, that's becoming much more democratized now, that anybody can access just about any knowledge they want by going onto Google. or some other search engine. These are massive changes whose impact we can only begin to kind of guess at. So I've talked a little bit about this already, the tendency towards globalization, the fact that students travel the world